Blog Talk Radio.
Kwaba, Hotep, and welcome once again to another exciting episode of Dubwise Talk. I am Judah Adara, your host, and I am so elated, so pleased to present to you tonight a very talented and beautiful sister by the name of Joanna Sparrow. And she is the author of Bruised Hearts, and we will be talking about that momentarily. But before we do, I'd like to tell you that we are brought to you by this
company. Greetings, Akwaba. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. Who
Canine Imports. They are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden level shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bags made of kente cloth and knit Rastafarian tapestry carved wood jewelry. The body products include several kinds of pure unrefined shea butter, as well as black soap made from the ashes of leaves, bark, and cocoa pods, mixed with shea butter or palm oil, then cured, which is noted for its deep cleansing properties. Aside from that, Unan Imports exudes an ambiance that is one to remember. Do yourself a favor, take some time and go over to Unan Imports, located at 6971 North Sheridan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626, and see who I call Doc, Brother Al Unan. You'll be glad you did. And we are black, and we want to welcome at this time with a gigantic smile and a big yay for Joanna Sparrow. Yay! Greetings, sister. Greetings, beloved. How are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm doing very well. I have you on my show. A talent such as yours is highly treasured by me, and I want to welcome you once again to Dubwise Talk.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. So tell me, Joanne, where were you born?
I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana. So New Orleans. Yes.
I see. how long did you stay there, or are you there now, or what is your circumstance?
No, I left, and you see, it's been a while since I've been back, and my parents left after Katrina, so right now I'm living in San Antonio, Texas, and I've been here now for about 8 years or so. But yes, I left there when I was about 21.
I see. Okay, so tell me, what was your home contribution to your deciding to be an artist? What were some of the early contributions that your home provided for you?
I would have to say a lot of art. So we talk about writing, creative writing, artwork, illustrations, paintings. It was things like that in my home.
I see. You broke up. Could you repeat the last part again?
It was a lot of artwork, a lot of paintings. We even had music, but mainly that's what, you know, in my home. I had a large family, about 6 brothers. It was unique.
That's beautiful. And how many sisters did you have?
I was the only girl until my mom adopted my baby sister.
I see. To balance it out somewhat. Two sisters can handle 6 brothers.
That's right. Right.
We know the power of the woman. So now, who were the artists that were doing the paintings in your home?
I would have to say my dad was inspired a lot to paint, but not the way that, I mean, it was more like he would just doodle. My mom did the same thing, and I just had a different creative eye. I mean, I took it to the next level. I just saw so much.
So I don't know if I heard you correctly. Did you say that they used to just doodle?
They just used to doodle. And because I was a dreamer and I had a lot of dreams, I would get a lot of the things that I would draw from my dreams.
So an esoteric artist. So at what age were you when you were getting the dreams and interpreting that through your art?
About five.
About five, I see. I see. That's quite interesting. Did you tell anyone about these dreams?
Yes, I did. My mom knew because she was a dreamer. She would have a lot of dreams, very spiritual home. But I had a journal, and in my journal, I would write my dreams down so that when they activated, I knew when I was actually living the dream, and it had activated, so it was happening. And there were certain signals within the dream, right, to let me know that it was happening.
I'm smiling because I'm fascinated with dreams. And in my charts, it talks about my ability to talk to the other side, to those who have passed on. So we can talk about that at another time. What is your sign, perchance?
I am Sagittarius, so sometimes it's between Scorpio, but it's more Sagittarius because it depends on another time frame, and it's just in the cusp, so between Sagittarius and Scorpio, but I am more Sagittarius.
I see. I guessed that you were Scorpio.
Really?
But, yeah, I did. But anyway, let's now talk about time when a piece of literature actually spoke to your soul. It resonated in your soul and in your mind and in your body.
I would have to say I was about 13 and I was going through something. I was young, I didn't understand a lot of things that was going on, and I was like out of sorts, out of place, because I was always dreaming and I didn't fit. And I remember my mom read in the Bible in Habakkuk where it said to write the vision, make it plain, and he that read it may run with it. And that stuck with me because it was a way for me to interpretate my dreams. And that's when I started to paint more, I started to write more. So it gave me a window in which to look into, to express myself.
So am I to understand that the scripture from Habakkuk is the writing that most resonated in your soul at that time?
When I was about 13, I mean, there was a lot of literature, but that one at that particular time, because I was having so many dreams that was disturbing, and I couldn't explain. But when that was read, I understood that it was talking about not just the vision in this realm or this reality, but beyond this reality. And it was how I interpreted and how I saw it, that I can write it so others can understand. And that's why that's what stuck with me.
I see. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the lovely and the talented, and I might add beautiful, Sister Joanna Sparrow. She's the author of Bruised Hearts, and we'll be right back with her. But before we go back to her, I would like to tell you that we are also brought to you by Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant. They are located at 5633 North Ashland in Chicago, 60620, I believe. And they have the most exquisite decorum and the most hospitable treatment and service to you. You will enjoy their fine dining there. So do yourself a favor, go over to Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant and speak to Samson and his lovely wife, Heru. And we are brought to you by Popcorn Haven. They are conveniently located on 111th and Cicero on the southwest side of Chicago. They have over 500 flavors for you, and they have ample parking. do yourself a favor and go by Popcorn Haven. And we are Black with the lovely and the talented Joanna. So let's talk about the time that you decided, or the inspiration that sparked your first writing.
Okay, for me, I would have to say the hurt and the pain that I witnessed that was happening all around me, not only with just within my family, but with my friends, but with just seeing it, hearing it. And that got me into writing about hurt and pain, and that's what I wanted to talk about. So that's what I try to deal with, because we all have been hurt somewhere.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, indeed. Okay, and what was the name of that publication?
I wrote basically when I was much younger. It was called What Could I Be If I Could Be Anything? And I remember when I wrote that, and that was put out, I remember riding in the car with my parents at that particular time. And I remember there was a young gentleman that was sitting at a bus stop, and his head was hung down, and he was just looking like he was sad, he was depressed. And at that moment, I felt sad. I felt a connection. I didn't know why. I didn't know mm-hmm. who this person was. Mm-hmm. And that connection allowed me to become so sensitive to people's expression, their body
yes.
language, that, you know, sometimes I have to close up to not receive so much. But in that's when I wrote If I Could Be Whatever, If I Could Be Anything. And I wrote that because of that inspiration of seeing that person. If anything in retrospect, what would I be?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
The universe.
The what?
If I could be anything, it would be within the universe. It would be the universe.
That
blanket,
is so beautiful.
A blanket of love. Yes.
Yes. Let's talk about connections. You seem to be very strong in connections, and that leads us to your organization. I think it is called, if I can memorize it, HBCC.
R.
Yes. Talk about that, please.
Heart Proves Conscious Connection Renewal basically came to me within a dream and basically showed me how we, as human beings, we take in so much, and we connect and we disconnect the wrong things. We connect the things that we shouldn't. We disconnect the things that we shouldn't disconnect with.
Yes,
and that everything
yes.
is a lesson. You know, everything's a lesson. Everything in life that's negative is a teacher. And you're supposed to move to the next stage. And a lot of people don't know how to move past that teaching. So they're heart bruised. And they can't consciously elevate. So that's why I wrote that.
So when the teacher comes, what are some of the reactions that you've observed by first the unwise and by secondly the wise?
When the teacher comes with the unwise, you're talking if it's pain,
for instance,
death.
Yeah. For instance, say a malocurrence happens to someone who was not wise, and that malocurrence is a teacher, and I totally agree with that. What have you observed the unwise to respond with to the teacher as opposed to the wise who receives a teaching?
Right. The unwise, they're basically in a chaotic state. They're
mm-hmm.
unbalanced. They're shifted. They're angry.
Mm-hmm.
They're depressed. They develop anxieties, phobias, fears
mm-hmm.
because they're out of tune. They're out of sync because they've been thrown out of balance because they're more focused on the teacher, the event, rather than a lesson. But the person
mm-hmm.
that's conscious, that they understand, they can disconnect. They can
mm-hmm.
connect and disconnect, and they can look back and say, well, that was a teacher for mm-hmm. me for the future. So I can put that event or that experience on the shelf. I don't have to take it with me in my next relationship, or I don't have to be angry with this person because they look like the person that hurt me when I was younger. They understand that life is a teacher, and not to be mad at the teacher, because if you learn the lesson, you won't have to repeat the event.
Exactly, exactly. I try my best to take the negative and find the oasis in every desert that comes to me. That's just how I feel. I think that in every desert there's an oasis. Otherwise, the Creator wouldn't. The Creator stacks things against us at times for teaching us, but He doesn't make it impossible.
Right. And that's the key.
Yes. That's the key, isn't it?
Yes, that is the key, to know that it's not impossible. It's an illusion.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk more about this organization, this code. Talk about the code.
The Heartroots Conscious Connection Renewal is several steps. Most will look at them as comedic steps, but this the seven laws or steps of humanity, of consciousness, in which from learning to spirituality to balance to love, even hate, because there are certain times there is within us to hate, but that hate should not resonate to destruction. It should be a hate for something that you never, ever want to do. You should never think about doing, i.e. taking a life.
Joanna, would you repeat that again? It should not be a hate for destruction, but repeat that because you broke up.
There's a time in our life when we should hate, but uh-huh. that hate should resonate, and it should never be a hate that's for to take a life
yeah.
or to hurt or to uh-huh. cause harm, but it should uh-huh. be a hate to say that I would never, ever take a life. So
uh-huh.
I stand against that. So
yes.
you use that hate, that negative, and you reverse
yes.
it and you make it a positive
yes.
within
yes.
yourself. And then you
yes.
can basically pull it from your inside, and you can put it on the outside of yourself as a barrier. So you
that
can
is,
hate a lot of things, but make sure you hate the things that you never, ever want to do. That's destructive. That's when hate is positive.
I love it. I love it. It's so refreshing talking with wisdom. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That is so beautiful. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with the beautiful and the talented. And hopefully you will have a passage you would like to read from your latest book called Bruised Hearts. And we'll be right back. Yes? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
black, we are black. This is Dubwise Talk. I am Judah Darar, your host. And just to alert you, on tomorrow night, we have the lovely and the beautiful Nat Hedge. She will be talking about her latest film she produced called Dodo TT. It is a fascinating film. You will want to check that show out tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we have Brother Austin Carr. No, I'm sorry, Brother Royce Carr. Brother Royce Carr, sensational soul singer who's keeping soul music alive the old school way. And I want to tell you, he is a very highly talented brother. And then on Thursday, we have Valentia, and she will be portraying Sister Sojourner Truth. She is definitely an intense artist. And we have the lovely and the talented Judith Martin closing out the week on Friday. We are black with Joanna Sparrow. Joanna, tell me, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word.
Your favorite
overstand.
Word.
Overstand. My favorite word is overstand.
Overstand. Ah, I see. My favorite word is atavistic, and that means, I love that word. It means to be ancestral minded. Everything is done with the mindset of the ancestors, so that befits me so well. And when I discovered that, I discovered it as an accident. And I said, hey, let me see what this means. And I said, oh, yeah, that's what I like.
So, that what you do, right?
Oh, yeah, it fits me, sister. So your favorite word is overstand. Now, would you kindly give us a rendering from your latest periodic, your latest published book, please?
Sure. And this is from Bruce Hart. Okay, and it says, tell me what you've gone through. And I'm sure I can tell you what you're having and what struggles you're having today. Tell me your hurts and pains, and I'm sure I can tell you why you're having them. Life not only is your bruises, but pain and heart upon a heart that's never ending. And these pains and blows can last a lifetime. And that's just a little bit that I have within the first beginning part of the chapter.
That is intense. That is intense as your eyes are.
Thank you.
Now, tell us about the tools, the most essential tools in being a writer, and then the essential tools in being a business person, because once you become a writer, you will soon discover that you have to put on the business cap as well.
That's correct. And as a writer, the tools that you need is basically creativity. You have to be able to be creative and be expressive and not be afraid to put yourself out there, to say that you heard, to say that you love. You know, you have to be open, like an open book, not too revealing, but enough to where you can draw people in to trust you. And with the business world, you have to be able to know when it comes to writing. I'm an independent author, so I do everything. I publish the book. I put the book out there. I write it. I have a team of designers that does my covers. I have editors, and basically they go through everything. But to know the business is crucial. Especially if you're going to be an independent author, because you do everything. It's different from self-publishing, because self-publishing, you go through someone else, a third party. As an independent, you are the business. So you're more than the author, you're the business behind the book. Yeah.
And where can your book be found? Your book.
My book's
plural.
Yes, I have seven, and it's all self-help, and they deal with a lot of things, from heartbreak to abuse, to rape, to bruise hearts. And in bruised hearts, it deals with every, just about every type of life bruise that one can be issued, from childhood to adulthood, from divorce to infidelity to sexual abuse. It deals, this little book has a lot of bruises within the page because it tackles, each chapter tackles a different bruise. So, and the books can be found on Amazon, iTunes, also on my website, www.johannasbarrow.com, and also Barnes & Noble's, and Kobo, and paperback or ebook.
Wow. I'd just like to share with the audience a little bit about you, a little bit more about you. And it reads, Johanna Sparrow has been writing for over 17 years and has published a variety of books, from children books to self-help books dealing with relationship, personal growth, and conflict issues. She uses her expertise, knowledge, and experience on a system she's created and used over the years, dating back as far as 1995, in improving relationship issues called, in parentheses, HBCCR, Heart Bruise Conscious Connection Renewal Codes, which we either have or don't have inside of us. How do you know if you have it, and how do you know that you don't have it?
In Heart Bruise Conscious Connection, the connection of the consciousness, the level of consciousness. Since we are all at different stages in life, there are just some individuals we like to call agreeable or disagreeable, right? That no matter how much you can show them or how much they see or they connect or they understand, they can't hold on to just doing the right thing. And it's as if they're born or they're destined to cause destruction.
You know,
in
the teachings of Ma'at, it says, I'm paraphrasing, but it says, don't trip over a child that is born who speaks evil and does not obey. It says that child was ordained to be that way in the womb. And it also ends by saying, whom God makes bothless cannot cross over. You know what I'm saying? So that's sort of explained. I'm sorry, go on.
I know, I was saying that's it. You said it well, you spoke it well to the Ma'at. That's what I'm talking about. But to where everyone can understand it, that means know about Ma'at.
Yes. Yes, indeed, sister. Indeed, beloved. So tell me, what projects would you like to do that you have not done yet?
Well, I am interested in the audiobooks. That's something I'm interested in. Yes. Uh-oh, I'm getting close, right?
I would really love to be a part of that project, Goddess.
Yes, much
more. The music that I write, pardon?
No, I'm listening.
I'm sorry. Oh, I was saying the consciousness that I use for writing my music is definitely atavistic. And I love connecting with people who go all the way back. You know what I'm saying? You don't just stop it with this period of stop. You got to go to the first. And, you know, fortunately, we have their DNA.
You have to go to where it began, all the way back.
All the way back. That's where the answers are. That's where the answers are. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Johanna Sparrow, and she is the author of Bruised Hearts. And she is the author of many other books as well. Can you tell us the name of those books so one can just follow you?
Yes, I have R-Code, which is breaking the silence on male and male rape. I have Hands Off, which is trying to overcome the trauma that follows rape. So that just deals with a compilation of different events and life stories of someone that's dealing with a rape or something that happened to them, sexual assault. I also have Don't Tell the Milkman, my first book, If You Don't Want Him to Tell the World, and that's dealing with relational aggression and bullying. So that deals with that and suicide and things like that.
Wow.
I also have, I have about seven, and I have one coming out next month in August called Black Blood, The Public Execution of Black Life. That comes out next month.
Oh, my goodness. You are very provocative. Yes, indeed. That,
I have to
that,
tell
that
it.
Is perfect. That has perked my curiosity, my interest. You know, I really don't have time to read as I did in my youth because I'm wearing so many hats now, trying to do the music and the radio show. And, you know, I'm trying to do a daily radio show. I'm not just trying to do once a week like most people do because there are so many talented artists, in my opinion, who have a tale, who has a story, such as you do. And we are so honored to have you on our show. Can you tell us, do you have any plans to do any readings anywhere with your books?
Not at this time because just like you with the mini hats, if I'm not writing, lately I've been putting out a book every other month.
Wow.
If I'm not writing, yes. Next year I'm planning to put out nine self-help books and three children's books, which I illustrate. But if I'm not doing that, I do consultations where, you know, many people like to call in and just talk to me and just consult with something that they're going through just to hear a different perspective. And that's when I use that HBCC tool and to help guide them and walk them to a better decision on what they need to do. So as far as the readings right now, not at this moment, but I will.
You have such a lovely voice. It would be a shame that you don't share your voice. We need more serenity, that peace and calmness that our queens used to adorn back in the day, you know, and your voice is reminiscent of the back in the day to me, you know, and I applaud
that.
I applaud
that. Thank you. Much love always. Thank you.
It's you know, in this culture, our sisters are losing touch, but slowly but surely, I'm praying that it will come back. You know, but I'm grateful that you have yours, and don't let it go, sister.
I am not.
So do you have a family? Tell us about your family that you can. We don't want to know about the axe murderers, or, you know, but, you know, the one. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm married. I have a husband. I've been married for about 24 years. I have a daughter, and she's 21. A handful, I tell you. And I have a son, and he's 24, and they think just like myself. They're very conscious and very in tune to everything, at balance, universe, everything.
Yeah. I have a son likewise. In fact, now he can even teach me. And I'm so proud of all my seeds, all my cubs, but this one particular one is so devoted to consciousness. For instance, he only drinks water and tea, period. Nothing else.
Wow. Isn't that beautiful when they're able to just teach you and have just gathered all of the concepts and the knowledge?
Yes.
And they're telling you about it. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. And I'll tell you another thing he'll do. He'll get his water, of course, from the store. And then he'll set it out all day long and let the sun infuse its energy into the water, and then we drink it.
that is powerful, but that is beautiful.
Yeah.
He is well in tune.
He is a very wise son, and I'm very proud of all of my children. They all have special talents, you know. But in closing, what would you like to tell the audience in closing, beloved?
I would like to say I would love to issue each and every one who's listening, if you're interested, my gift, which is Bruce Hart. You can go to my website or my email, johannasparrow44@gmail.com. You can put the show title, and I'll send you the book.
Do exactly what she says, and you won't regret it. I welcome you back again to another episode, if you would be so kind to honor us. Would you, beloved?
Yes.
Give thanks and praise. All right. You have been with Junauda Ra and his guest, Johanna Sparrow, and we bid you unity, love, Hotep.